Hi, everybody, and welcome to Build the Weight Loss Practice of Your Dreams. You are in for a huge treat today because I have an expert guest that you are going to glean a lot of information from. I'm so excited to have her here. It's Cheryl Tan with Cheryl Tan Media, and we're going to be talking about a lot of different things that I get asked about, which is how to get media coverage, how to get yourself in front of those reporters, how to be recognized for that, how to do video. We talk about video all the time, but we're going to get a little bit more in depth here today with Cheryl, and she has been doing this for a long time. I'm going to let her share her background, but you're going to be really excited, and she's very experienced in this field, so I'm excited to have her here. But Cheryl, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what you're up to and a little bit about how that may play into what we're talking about today, that would be great.
I'd be honored. Carol, thank you so much for having me on your show. This is so much fun. And I have been in the news business for a really long time, as you mentioned. I've worked in newspapers, I've worked in radio, I've worked in TV stations in several states. And I'm so excited to be able to share what I've learned in that time with you and your audience. And I left television news officially about 6 years or so ago because I realized that business owners need to get that help that people like us can help them with, which is with content creation and helping them see that the value that they have for the audience that they're trying to reach. So I really had a good time helping people recognize the stories in their business and share those stories on video like you do so well.
Right. Oh, thank you. Well, your experience is phenomenal because you do have a varied background, but you spent so much time on TV. And a lot of times I get asked questions like, how can I get that recognition, not recognition, but really that exposure without having to do sort of a pay to play, sponsorship in order to be able to be seen and to get my message out there and to reach the patients that you want to reach. And I was wondering if you could give us some from a reporter's perspective, since you're the one who used to get all this information, how does that work? How does the media and TV, newspaper in particular, how do they pick whatever it is they're going to cover? And how can we help professionals stand out?
Okay, so great question. And it kind of has a few different answers. And so I'm going to try and make them in steps. When we're talking about stories that reporters cover, it's things that people are talking about. And right now, as we're recording this show, people are talking about the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. That is top of mind for just about everybody. As travel has been halted, events have been canceled, schools have been shut down at this point for just 2 weeks, and people are wondering what will happen after that. But that is definitely on the minds of so many people, as well as reporters. So morning meetings in news organizations are talking about this topic. And what they do when they're looking for stories is they're looking for stories tied to the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And as they're working through the stories that they have in their roster of things to potentially cover for the day, they're looking at sources that they have. They're looking at story ideas that come into their inbox or people who call them and share these story ideas that make sense for a greater audience. Mm-hmm. So let's say I'm in the morning meeting and I'm a reporter for the day and my assignment is to find a story related to the coronavirus. If it is not tied already to a story of importance. So let's say there's a shutdown of some sort. That would be the story. But let's say it is my job to find a story related to the coronavirus and how it's impacting some part of living in our community, right? Mm-hmm. Very open-ended. It probably isn't happening like that because there's enough news happening that those reporters will be sent out on particular breaking news related to the virus. But let's just say it's my job to find something new. Well, I'm calling my sources. I'm calling people that I know in the medical field. I'm calling people who've been able to share story ideas with me in the past. And I'm just calling to see what people are talking about. So what that should tell you as someone who may be in the know is, number one, relationships are key. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm looking for a story source, a story idea, I'm under a deadline. Like, I'm already behind the eight ball. I already had to have gotten the interview in the can, if you will. I had to have sort of understood where my story was going, because I've got a show to produce this piece for that's going to be on the air in a few hours. So relationships are number one. If you are someone who has expertise, especially right now in the medical field, is to make those relationships. Reach out to a reporter you admire. Reach out to someone you watch. If you don't know who those people are, watch, listen, read, because as journalists, they are putting out content every single day. They have a byline. They have a name tied to a story. They have a particular beat. There are certain reporters that do more medical-related stories. There are some reporters that do more business-related stories. Today, we're all doing stories related to medical-focused stuff, business-focused stuff, because it's the story of the day, right?
Right. Right.
So if you have an expertise, it would have been great to have that relationship months ago.
Sure.
What is it that they say? The best time to plant a tree was like 29 years ago, and the second best time is now.
Yeah.
So do it now and make that outreach. Send an email, because they're still looking for stories. They're looking for different angles. They're trying to figure out how this particular story impacts a greater community. If you have something to share in terms of, I don't know what that would be medically specific. I don't know what that would be, but if you have some sort of insight, share that with the newsroom. Send it to the assignment desks of the local news outlets and just tell them who you are. Hey, I'm Dr. So-and-so, or I am so-and-so, and I'm seeing this in my practice, or something related to something that the audience of these news organizations would reach.
Right.
And make that email outreach right now as that story idea comes to you, and then see what happens. Will they take the story idea? I don't know. But I can guarantee you they won't reach out to you if they don't know you exist.
Right.
The third part of this is, so make relationship, find a story that is relevant. The third thing is, you sort of have to look at who you are online, because once they get that story idea, or if they hear about you from somebody else, because that does happen, reporters will reach out to sources, and the sources might say, oh, I don't know about this, but reach out to so-and-so. Well, that so-and-so is going to be researched online by the reporter to see if he or she is who he or she says he is, right? So I hope that makes any sense at all, but I'm Googling. If I'm told to reach out to so-and-so, I'm going to find out what he or she looks like online first before I pick up the phone and call.
Sure. So I want to go back to reaching out to your local media. Mm-hmm. And we've heard lots of different things about, you know, do you do it via email? Is it the subject line that grabs their attention? How long should your email, should be brief? Should it not be brief? Are press releases a thing of the past, you know? So if I'm reaching out and I've kind of done my research and I see who covers health-related stories and I'm wanting to get in front of them, what advice do you have for how to make yourself stand out from the other potential things that are being pitched to them?
First, have a great story idea. A great story idea will trump any other mistakes that you might make. Press release or no press release, like, you're going to not read an email because there's a press release in it, but I'm not going to read an email because it has one.
Okay.
So be a human, right? Be a human. Dear so-and-so, let's go with me. Dear Cheryl, I watch the show that you host on a regular basis. I really enjoy it. I love how you interview business owners, blah, 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 blah. How about this first story idea for your next show? And then tell me what the story idea is.
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
If I'm interested and it makes sense for my audience, maybe I'll reach back out. If it's a bad time and it doesn't make sense, I'm hoping that I still respond. Like, I'm hoping it's not so crazy. I could be like, hey, great, it's your idea. Thank you. Not for right now, but maybe in the future.
Right.
But if I don't respond, keep reaching out, because persistence does work. It really does work, because people do get pretty busy.
Right. So it's just like, I mean, persistence is one of those things. How many times do you have to hear about something before you take action? So yeah. Sometimes I think as healthcare professionals, we don't want to be annoying either, but persistence is important, is what I'm hearing.
If your story idea is important enough, and there are some stories that really need to be told, and sometimes they need to be told over and over again to that same reporter so they pay attention.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, sometimes there is a disconnect, like the reporter gets the email and doesn't see the value. Well, write back, write it in a different way so he or she pays attention. And if that story idea is big enough, like on the part of the person telling the story, if it's a big enough story that you're willing to keep fighting for it, keep fighting for it. Mm-hmm. You have to keep fighting for it, because that will get the reporter on board to fight for it as well in their morning meeting and say, hey, we need to do this story. It's really a good one.
Right. I know you're really helpful at bringing out stories that people have to tell that are relevant and of interest, and really helping that, because sometimes we'll think about something that we think, oh, it's not that big of a deal, but it really is a great story. And sometimes, you know, we downplay some of the really cool things going on in medicine or in our practice or with our patients, even though we may be seeing lives transformed. Mm-hmm. How do you help people kind of take what they feel is more everyday normalcy and realize that it's really something that's potentially of interest and the story that should be told?
I would look at it as the journey. Mm-hmm. So if you can share a journey and relay that story to the reporter, you're going to have a lot more success. A lot of times business owners come to me and they say, hi, I've got a great event happening. Mm-hmm. This great ribbon cutting, or they've got this great event with 300 people. And they think that the event itself is the story, and it's not. Mm-hmm. The event is an event, and it's exciting for the business owner. It's a big deal for that particular company. But the event itself is not the story. If there's something tied to the event that makes it more interesting in terms of a journey, let's say that the reason they're having this event is because 15, and I know that you're in the weight loss space, so let's say you're pulling together 15 of your clients who've collectively lost 500 pounds.
Right.
Then that becomes the story tied to the event. It's not so much of a party celebrating your clients. It's really that you're bringing together a bunch of your clients who've lost an incredible amount of weight in a certain way.
Right.
It's how you package it up to the reporter that makes a lot more sense, because then that reporter can see how their audience will benefit. Now, that story probably won't fly in this climate right now. And so it is important to take a look at your stories in terms of what is happening in the community right now. Right. Stories that might, in any other place, might not make a difference, might really make a difference right now because of our jitteriness, you know, because we're feeling a certain way about certain things.
Right. I love that analogy. Really kind of digging deeper than the surface of whatever is going on. Mm-hmm. That's great. And then really making sure it's relevant to the current day and time and current events. I guess you're saying too.
Right.
So just as a quick question, is email still one of the best ways for reaching the media, or, cause you know, for a lot of times people get so many emails, they can't really go through them, but that's still pretty much the most common way to reach someone, unless you have a relationship with them and you have their, you know, potential personal line or something like that.
I would stick with email.
Yeah.
Unless you know them, I would stick with email. There's some reporters who are really active on social media mm-hmm. and they welcome that engagement on social media. So you can start there.
Okay.
But I would certainly follow up with email. Maybe you have some sort of relationship on social media, and on Facebook, you say something like, "Hey, so-and-so, I've got the story idea. Can I send it to you?" The reporter or anchor might say, "Sure, send it mm-hmm. to me." Maybe he or she will post her work email, and then you send it there and just say, "Hey, look, you know, I sent it." And then maybe send a private message on Facebook or a DM on Instagram to let them know it's on its way. Right. But it's just easier for the reporter to have it all in one place if it's an email. And then you can continue to follow up that way.
All right, great. Any other tips for how to get in front of the media? And if not, I'm going to switch into some video mode.
Yeah, I think what I would say, the most important thing is to identify the stories that makes sense in your company. It's not even an analogy necessarily, but it's more like if you can show that you're sort of resilient, like you're self-sufficient and resilient,
yes,
and that you are sort of the creator unto yourself, mm-hmm. then other people will notice. So if you start creating content, maybe blog posts, maybe even video, maybe a podcast about some of the things that are happening in your company, mm-hmm. then the reporter can, when doing homework, can see what it is you've already created and can sort of pick and choose the stories he or she wants to tell that you already right. have. And so I think part of it is already identifying what is newsworthy within your organization. And then it's so much easier now to be your own creator of content, to push that out to your own audience first.
Right.
And then let them catch up and then sort of tell the story, you know, second after you've had the chance to do it first.
Right.
That's what
right.
I would do.
I love that, because I do think it's never been as easy as it is now.
Never.
And sometimes people can still view that and get overwhelmed by the whole idea of creating content or putting themselves out there or yeah. who would be interested. But it really is something, obviously, as you are you know, relaying, that is a benefit and could yeah. potentially really help place you ahead of someone else when your presence online and when you take the initiative to put the story out there and share that, how it can set you apart.
Well, if you think about it, reporters are also mothers, their fathers, their sisters and brothers. They're on social media as well. And the way the algorithms work for reporters are the same as they work for anybody else. And if there's any sort of connection between related contacts, they're right. going to see in their feed what you see in yours.
Right. Right.
And they get the same kinds of stories and get kind of sucked in.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get all kinds of stories in my feed, all kinds of stories. And I'm yeah. like, "Hey, you know, have you seen this? Have you seen this?" And I share it with people who might need to see it.
Right. So it all really gets down to that human element again, which is what people are interested in.
Yeah. It takes time. And I think a lot of people don't think it's as simple as it is. It's not easy. Because your story may not be interesting to that person. Just very frankly, it may not be interesting. And I'm not talking about yours, Carol, of course, but right. the story that you share may not be interesting. So to me, the most important thing to know is if it is or isn't. And if it's not, to go back to the drawing board and come up with one that is.
Right. Okay. And it's funny, one time we were having an event here, it was a grand opening, and we really did hit on that whole personalized, we were having a whole show where people got up and they kind of walked walked across the runway, and we told their story and we had this great media coverage.
Cool.
And then right before it happened, there was like this huge situation that occurred locally. And of course, then there was this whole different media story that everybody had to move to. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, they were all on their way. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, whether it's a storm or a, God forbid, a shooting or, you know, or something that then usurps the whole story. So
it can happen.
Obviously, it needed to be covered, but it was like, oh, you know, but it was one of those things where we really had to focus on the patients and what the story was that we were telling, not that we were having a grand opening necessarily, right. But that it was all about growing in terms of the practice in order to serve more people so that they could experience a better outcome. But
yeah. Oh, that's too bad. But yes, that can happen very easily. Yeah.
And then what, you're resilient. You just kind of take a deep breath and you're like, well, it's okay. It wasn't meant to be. And the next time we'll just continue. And we already had, and it helped build that relationship though. And then in the future, they would call sometimes for stories, like you said. So it's really one of those things that can be a good thing in the end. So we all have to be positive about it. And resilience certainly is important. So you also spend time in your Cheryl Tan Media. You help people create video and get their message out there. Tell us a little bit about that and how that comes into play.
You know, I never, in the beginning, when I started in television, I was not intending to be on camera. Like, that was not my intent. Like, a long, long time ago, I wasn't like, I want to be in front of the camera. And it just happened. It was a mentor who pushed me into it. And I'm forever thankful for that. But
your bedroom as a little girl standing.
I know.
Your hairbrush or something? No.
Never. I never did that. But I probably should have, because I might have been more prepared for my first on-air job.
You did great.
But what I realized a couple of years after I left television and started my business was the rise of the video creator. Like the everyday video creator, because at that time, all this live streaming was happening. The Facebook Live, the Twitter Live. It was a couple of years before like Instagram Live. But if you remember Blab was like live streaming, and it was incredible. And so it meant anybody with a phone or a laptop could go live and reach an audience.
Right.
And that's when I realized that I could really use my experience really from a very long perspective of using video and TV to really help them get over their fear of the camera and use it more effectively to build a personal brand. That's been really fun to do. And it brings back so many memories of when I was doing it in the very beginning and really not knowing what I was doing at all, but helping people get over that fear and figuring out what they want to say and how they say it and the emotion that they should have when they're on camera. And it's been a lot of fun.
Right. How do you move people past, you know, you've been in this business for so long and you're used to being in an environment where it is sort of choreographed. So, you know, this camera's coming in, you know, everything's so professional. And so a lot of times when I work with physicians, and you probably find this too, there's this view that it really has to be of this utmost quality. And so what happens is it takes forever to get anything completed because there's this, you know, this, and a lot more expense is spent trying to create something that's perfect. By the time it's launched, you know, sometimes it's not as relevant, you know? So I think one of the things that I'm really big, and I know you are too, is moving people past that desire and that feeling that everything has to be professionally done. Not that you don't want a great end product or a great end video, but if you spend way too much time and money on it, sometimes, you know, it takes way too long and it sometimes might not be as effective as a video that you did a little bit more quicker. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first I would say is exactly what you just said, is a video that is in your head does you no good. Like, it has no value at all to you at all. But the videos that you see on the news or videos that you see professionally done, they're done by a team. Like, other people put it together. There are several people who make this happen. And a lot of people I work with now are solo business owners. They're solo brands trying to build something. And they can really do it with just the phone that they have. And the problem is they see what is professionally done, and they're trying to compare that output with what they have in their home. And to be honest, you can create that with just what you have in your home, with a laptop, with a little bit of lighting, with a microphone. You can create almost everything that you can create with a professional team. Like, I'm sorry to say, but you really can in a lot of cases. You can be really close. But what you do have to get over is just that mental hurdle. Like, oh, it's not 100% there. Right. For whatever reason. It could be a little bit of lighting. It could be a little bit of the set. It could, whatever. It could be anything. It could be maybe how you feel about the way you look or sound. But what I would encourage you, and I know you do that with your clients as well, Carol, is that it's better to get it out there and in front of people. It serves so many more people if that video is published, if it's sent out, if it's somewhere where people can access it and see it and learn from it. Right. And I think it's more of talking to people and letting them know that it's okay.
Yeah. Right. And you actually have some really great tools, I know, on your website.
Thank you.
Talk a little bit about that, because it is pretty exciting how you break it down for people.
Well, I have my no-fail video formula where I really take them through this five-step process through getting all the equipment, because you need a little bit of equipment. Unfortunately, it's not like pen and paper. It's like you need something that records you and something to hold up your camera. And so we go through the equipment. We go through the process of positioning you. So you are talking to the right people and telling them the right thing. We have a process that we help them through in terms of batching. So you're doing a bunch of videos all at once. So you're like, you have the pain right in the very beginning, but then you have the rewards where you have something to share on a regular basis.
Right.
And we publish. One of the things that really surprised me when I started working with people is that they would spend all this money on videos, like all this money. And this is professionally done video. So they weren't even creating it on their own. They spend all this money and they wouldn't publish it. And I was like, is it us? Did we like make it wrong? They're like, no. So if it wasn't us, that means it was them thinking that that something that they put out there wasn't right, like their hair or makeup or whatever.
Right.
Also, I don't accept that anymore. You got to publish. And then you have to promote, you know, promote more than you create in order to make sure a lot more eyeballs get to see what you've put out there in the very beginning.
Right, right. And I want to get to how Cheryl Tan Media, correct.com is the website. And there are a lot of great things there, but that whole promote thing in terms of practitioners, a lot of times, you know, we're not comfortable promoting ourselves. We're more familiar with just serving, but you can serve and promote quite effectively.
Mm-hmm. Well, the videos that you create is the service because the videos aren't, I have never seen a video that says this, hey, I'm Cheryl and I'm great. Like I've never seen anybody put a video out like that. And you'll never see me do that. Oh, I just did that. So please don't cut that out. But I've never seen a doctor do that. And I can't imagine that the videos you put together would say that. And typically the videos would be something like, if you're feeling sick, stay home. Or if you're feeling this, that, and the other, then this is what you might be dealing with. It would be more related to the expertise you have. And in which case, that isn't a promotion, it's more of a service, a way to help your clients so they don't necessarily have to come into the office, or it helps them feel more comfortable before they do visit you in person.
Right.
And so if that is the case, then it really is a disservice if you hold on to it. It's a disservice. Right. You're not helping
your clients. I love that. Yeah. And a lot of times people think that they need to be professional copywriters or something like that.
But you know, it's just like you had asked me earlier about the right way to send an email to a reporter. A few years ago, I got an email from a gentleman who's trying to pitch a story to me. And he sent me this email, and it was no lie. It was an email, but if I had printed it out, it would have been like 10 pages, single-spaced, no white space. And the first time I got the email, and I've talked to him, by the way. I've talked to him since then about this because I tell the story a lot. The first time, I didn't read it. It was too much. I mean, it was too much copy. I was like, I'll put it for, I didn't delete it, but I put it away. 3 days later, he sent me an email, and it was still like, maybe 7 pages, single spaced, if I had printed it out. I read the first couple of lines. I was, maybe. And then I didn't do anything with it. 3 days later, he sent me another email. And that day I had a shoot. Like I had a video shoot that I had to do. And I needed to interview a business owner for a story. And my person had to cancel. Like it was unexpected, totally canceled. And his email then popped in my inbox. And I was like, maybe I should read this. And I read it and it was a great story. It was a great story. It was so good. And from that email, I got the contact information. I called him and he was available and he was in my area and we did the shoot about 2 hours later. Okay. So the reason I say that is it's the same with a video. Is if it's a good video with a good topic, you do have to get people past the beginning. So you'd want the beginning to be pretty compelling. But people will go through quite a bit if the meat of the video, if the meat of the email, if the story idea is worthwhile. They'll go through a lot to get to the end. Right. And maybe there's a story for you, like, you know, a video shoot for you at the end of that, like at the end of the rainbow.
Well, that pulls in a lot of the things that you were just talking about, you know, it's that whole having a good story, finding the right person, being persistent so that you're in front of them at the point when they're ready to turn that into a story and, you know, not really being afraid of that. So I like that. It pulls everything kind of together, that whole scenario that you just shared.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, you have a podcast as well. I know I was very privileged to be on Cheryl's podcast just a short time ago. And we're talking all sorts of fun things about video, but Cheryl has a podcast and it's called Stand Out with Cheryl Tan. And you've done quite a few episodes and it's exciting too. Where can they find that? It's on everywhere. Mm-hmm. I know Stitcher, iTunes.
All the places. Stand Out with Cheryl Tan. And I had the honor of talking with you about your business and how you use video. And I just love the systematic way that you create it. So often I put myself in that camp. It's hard to be consistent. It's really hard to be consistent. And especially for me, when I had to do it for a job, I did it with no problem. But as a business owner, it's a lot easier to say, I'll do that next time because I've got client work to do or I've got these meetings to handle. But you've created consistency in your content creation that is really admirable. And so I really thank you for talking about that on my show.
Oh, absolutely. So for my listeners, how can they all reach out to you and how can they get access to for your assistance personally, and also for any of your other online resources that you have for free?
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, I've got free resources everywhere. I've got a YouTube channel. Please check out the Stand Out with Cheryl Tan podcast. And Carol had a great interview that really breaks down her process of creating videos. If you go to CherylTanMedia.com/video resources, I have my best tips on how to start using video to get over that overwhelm and to start feeling more confident on camera. So if you go there, that's probably the best place to get started and to get some of the free resources that I've put together there.
Right. It's good stuff. So you guys need to check it out. Yeah, I certainly have. Anything else, any other tips that you wanted to share or any end, sort of summary end message that you wanted to share with the practitioners that are listening?
I always tell people that great video creators aren't born. They are made. I think we have a lot of, because there are so many channels to watch video on, there's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, if you're on any sort of feed, there's video in it. It's hard to watch those feeds and think I could be like that. I mean, I think it's really hard for all of us because there's so many great video creators out there, but they started at the very beginning. They started out with their one follower, which is probably a relative, and then they grew from there. And it really just takes time. It takes some determination, takes some patience, but I guarantee that once you get started with video, you will get better, but you just have to start. You just have to start.
Good. Good advice. Good advice. And how, I know you gave a few resources, just really that's if they wanted to access you personally, they just go there and they'll be able to.
Oh yes. There's ways to get in touch with me. You can email me, feel free to Cheryl@CherylTanMedia.com. And I'm on all the socials, so you can find me there and then send a DM or a message. If there's any way I can help, I'm happy to.
All right. Well, this has been great information and you're really helping because I get these questions a lot. And of course, I don't have a media background. So getting to know you has been extra special. And I appreciate you taking time to share that with our listeners. Thank you so much.
Honor. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Okay, everybody, that's it for this week. And I hope you appreciate that and enjoy my interview with Cheryl Tan. Like I say, check out our resources. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, for goodness sakes, make sure you subscribe, build the weight loss practice of your dreams. And we will talk to you next time. Bye.